This is a Little Empire podcast. Visit us at littleempirepodcast.com and on Instagram at Little Empire Podcasts.
Hello and welcome back to Hosting, a podcast where I, Guy Montgomery, host house guest Carlo Ritchie. And we sort of just talk about how the experience is going for both of us. This is day two. Carlo and I had an interesting day navigating some cultural differences and just misunderstandings, I would say, yesterday.
Yes, it is a funny country, as I've learned.
Well, we are a funny people, so I appreciate...
A very funny people.
I appreciate the compliment.
And I can't help but think how much better this whole place would be without you.
Without me specifically?
Without all of you. All of your kind.
New Zealanders.
Yes. I think it would be as paradise was to the first humans stepped out of the Garden of Eden.
I guess this is interesting for me because we've just come from a lunch with my family.
Yeah.
And you seem to get along great with everyone there.
They are so lovely.
And, I mean, we were on the car ride back home, we were laughing about it, and you were sort of saying you had a really good time and you'd love to see more of them. And I guess as soon as we've started recording now, what you're telling me is so at odds with how I thought everything was going.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I can see that. I can see that. I can see how it would be a shock to have that sort of self-realization that you're a blight.
I wouldn't call what I'm having a moment of self-realization.
Okay. How would you describe it?
Just, I guess the word shock does summarize how I'm feeling quite accurately. I'm just shocked, as you say, that you feel this.
Yeah, I'm shocked, to use your term. I'm shocked as well, Guy. I'm also shocked how much I hate all of you.
Wow. Okay. I suppose.
But very friendly though. Like really friendly.
Really mixed messages. I suppose it's on me to try and learn from this about what it is that's made you feel this way.
Mm.
I mean, is it when you say my
people?
It does
feel like the burden is on you.
Me specifically?
Huh?
Do you mean like that you would like me to die? Or when you say your people, do you mean my family and Frank? Or do you mean all New Zealand?
The whole... You said yesterday of 4.5 million or so?
Yeah, I think it's about 4.5, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess 4.5 million of you.
So you would like New Zealand to have about 4.5 million less people?
That's right, yeah. Because I'm walking around, Guy, like, we went up Mount Eden today, this morning, and we watched the sunrise.
It was great.
And I'm just looking around, and I'm thinking, like, this is nice, like, it's beautiful. I mean, I can see north and south to what seems the edge of the horizon. I can see islands, I can see mountains, I can see fields and cities, a lake, see a lake from Mount Eden, and see the ocean. It's a beautiful place. But what's going on? What are all these people here? You know, like crowding.
We live here. This is our home.
Well, news to me. It is news to me. Because I've looked a lot of the advertising. I don't know if you're aware of this, Guy. A lot of the advertisements for this country. A lot of the famous brands like MacPac. They famously, they show beautiful shots of what seem to be untouched, unpeopled wilderness.
Yeah. Those photos were taken by not all New Zealanders, but by photographers, by people.
But probably from somewhere like Australia or a drone.
No.
I mean, I don't know if you've got a robot that can take photographs, looks very much like a human, has a sort of sense of self-identity, like it's sentient to a degree. It's having a weird time as well. It's over here taking pictures of this wilderness. It's strange.
You think that is more likely than just a regular New Zealand person?
I'm more surprised that you are shocked, to use your word there, Guy. I'm more shocked that you don't think that's a possibility, that there
is a
sentient robot.
I acknowledge the possibility of that entirely. I just
think conflicted with itself, it's begun to feel what it thinks is love, but it doesn't know.
No,
it's love, a human woman.
I believe,
and I can't blame it.
And the
you know, and it's out there, and she's against the idea. She's an Australian woman. She lives in the small town of Nundal in northern New South Wales. And the robot, he comes home and he develops his photographs in his black room. And he puts the photos up and he looks at them every day and he says to her, he goes, each day I see this untouched, unspoiled beauty. But despite myself, I feel nothing for it. But when I look upon you, I feel something. Is this love? And she doesn't know what to say. And that's the tragedy that we're all dealing with, Guy. And that, to me, seems so much more likely than the fact that there were 4.5 million people here.
Well, I really want to say up front that I'm willing to acknowledge that such a technologically advanced sort of AI could exist.
Because he'll outlive her, and I think that's what weighs on him.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it really, I mean, does it have a, like, it, he doesn't self-identify with gender, so.
And I'm not here to question whether or not such technology
and
is.
He'll live long after our deaths and hers, and that's, how can you feel love if it is finite? But I guess life is finite for all of us.
Yeah, so I think you can feel love. But just to me, that is either more likely.
Mm.
Or preferable to a New Zealander taking the...
Certainly preferable.
So from the photos you had seen, and we'll leave the photographer out of it. It could be this robot you're talking about.
It could be
a drone. It could be anyone.
Robot.
Your understanding of what New Zealand would be like was sort of more closely aligned to the idea that there wouldn't be any people.
That's right. I pictured it. I would touch down in Auckland. I imagine there would be a sort of landing pad. And the sort of the staff, it would be sort of a bit like the staff on the plane would also be the ground crew. Like they'd land and then they'd get out of the plane, they'd help us get out, and they'd say, "Oh, welcome, you know, to New Zealand." An old man would sort of take us to his sort of like a resort in the jungle, and we'd tour around it in little jeeps, and we'd get around and just sort of see the whole country that way.
Well, when I send you photos of, like, you know, when I was like, "Hey, you should come over, man," and sent you photos of just me in the city hanging out with my friends, or just, like, you know, shows that I was going to and stuff like that. Who do you think all those people were?
Well, I guess it's kind of a bit like the Sapir, like some of the research in the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis. They went to communities that only see two colors, for example. There's a red and black in Papua New Guinea. There's some language groups that only see red and black, and they would show them brightly colorful pictures and they would just sort of see it, they would describe it as blacks and reds. And I guess for me, a similar process happened in New Zealand, in that you would send me a photograph full of people and life and activity, and I would see just a sort of mountain dappled in snow or a river valley.
The people in the photos I would show you, they wouldn't read or register in your mind's eye.
Not one bit.
So I can okay, this is starting to make a little more sense now. I can imagine then when you arrive and there are people.
Mm.
Not everywhere. It's not the most populous country in the world, certainly by any stretch, but there are people present.
That's a surprise, and I think we've touched on that.
And you would like to see all of those people.
Yeah.
Gone.
Gone. Where would they go? Not my problem. Really? How would they go? Do not give...
Begrudgingly.
Yeah.
I would imagine. And no, I can't imagine that anyone would go. I feel like what you are saying is quite harmful. Certainly problematic.
Yeah, it is.
I mean...
It is.
We are a peaceful people.
Yep.
And we're an understanding and tolerant people. And so...
And they're generally the easiest... to confuse with not being around. to not existing.
What do you mean?
It's... Oh, yeah. I met a friendly guy out last night. I can't even remember his name. Tomorrow, I've forgotten his face. You know, oh, I went to this country. The 4.5 million lovely, wonderful people with a real deep sense of pride in their country and their traditions and their beautiful cultural heritage. Tomorrow, I can't remember their name. And Tuesday, I've forgotten they were there. I just remember the mountains and the river valleys.
That sounds more like you like giving yourself amnesia than any actual...
Well, you know, if giving myself amnesia is what it takes, Guy, then I guess that's what I'm going to have to do, isn't it?
No, I mean, you could just learn to accept that, of course, there are going to be people here.
Could I?
I think you could. I think you have the capacity to do that.
Well... That's what I guess this we'll find out, you know, by the end of this trip.
I mean, we are finding out. I'm certainly finding out a lot about you, and that is.
And I'm finding out a lot about you too, Guy. And yeah. It's a two-way street, really.
Well, what do you find? Why don't you say one of the things you found out about me?
I think it's interesting that you have a right as the host in New Zealand to own everything that I own. That you get to take my wallet and my phone.
I wouldn't say I own it, but I would say have rights to. So have rights to use as my own.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And you've certainly been not frugal with my possessions.
No, well, that's
like, I would
funny.
Think that a certain responsibility comes to a person when they're, like, they take someone's insulin. And I would think that there's a certain part of them goes, I'm going to...
I don't have...
Administer insulin.
I don't have diabetes, and
neither do I. But it's still my insulin.
Well, I just think if you're going to have some, why shouldn't I have some as well?
Mm.
Look, I'm really, you're sort of dredging up a lot of just very staid and tired and true New Zealand cultural norms, like the whole ownership question. And I guess what I've learned about you by hosting you is how. And I didn't really experience this with you when we met in Australia first, but you're very tight. You're very tight with money. You're running a very strict economic operation.
Well, I mean, in Australia, I don't think that's how people would describe me. But here, like, just little things seem to cost an absolute fortune, you know, like... you know, I asked you to buy me a bus ticket the other day, and that was $4,500.
Well, look, I don't set...
To go from Grey Lynn into the city.
I don't set the ticket prices for the bus, okay? It's called, you know, rates. It's why we've got such fantastic roads here.
And I said that to some other people. I said, how do you guys all live, like, where it's costing you $400,000 for a one-way ticket into town?
Well, that wasn't
and they all laughed. They all thought that was funny. They were like, yeah. So, like, how do you get so laissez-faire about such extraordinary expenses?
Well, we pay less. I'm going to say that. So, as a New Zealander, as a New Zealand citizen, when I get the bus, it costs $1.80.
That is significantly less.
It's much cheaper, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, when I buy a bus ticket for you... Even if ostensibly it could be for me, I need to take $4,500 with me to the bus, in case some sort of change in price, unforeseen change in price happens, and then, you know, what happens to that money between me going and getting you the ticket and what I'm trying to say is you don't need to worry about it. Don't think about it. Don't ask too many questions about how much things cost. You just got to go with it.
Well, I'm certainly going to write a letter to the New Zealand government about it.
Oh, yeah. I could actually help you post that if you like. I've got some envelopes and just stamps in my room. I could go grab them.
That'd be great, actually.
Yeah.
No
worries.
That is terrific help. It's terrific help.
So here you go. Here is some paper. It's quite good writing paper.
Thank you.
And do you have a pen? I'll lend you a pen.
Oh, it's her.
And there's an envelope and some stamps. Okay. And so that will cost.
Well, there wasn't
$100,000.
Oh my God. And it's just so, I don't have that kind of money, guy. Like, on the form I had to fill on the plane, they said it will cost you $10,000. They said, do you have $10,000 in cash? And I tick no.
Well, it's a good thing you said no.
Because I just did not have that much money. And between that bus ticket and the $1,000 I had to give you as the guest right, and the $50 I'm paying you for every meal, and have to pay all of your friends and all of your family $50 each.
Yeah.
Like, I'm almost at my limits of money. Like, I can't.
Okay. Well, it's fine. I'll just take back the letter writing. I guess you can't get that letter to the
government.
To the government then. You could.
Oh, I have to wait till I get back to Australia, I guess.
It's going to be tough. You know about the departure tax, right?
No. There's a departure tax.
Oh, yeah, there's a big one. It was sort of just as a means of sort of, it's a financial means of us forcing you to thank us for having you.
So,
and that's
$250,000. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So if you have come here with not enough money to get back out, I mean,
that's this so could be much money.
A very expensive holiday for you.
Why wouldn't they make this? Like, why was I not told this when I... It cost me $370 to get a flight here.
It's cheap, huh? It's so great. I mean, it's really competitive too. You fly Air New Zealand?
Air New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice flight.
They're a really nice airline. No point. I feel like it should have been in safety instructions. Like, hi there. You know, if you're going to New Zealand, maybe stay on the plane, go back if you don't have $250,000, because that's what they're going to charge you to leave.
Look, that's just... I mean, that's just bad business, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for them to be like, hey,
it's just so weird.
No, I mean, I'm not saying the practice that they're doing is bad business. I'm saying what you suggested as a part of the safety video is bad for business. You can't tell everyone coming in about what it's
going to... You're just fleecing everybody. $250,000 to leave a country.
Yeah. I mean, why do you think our population's grown so quickly?
Has it?
Yeah. 4.5 million.
How big was it 10 years ago?
It's about one.
It's grown 3.5 million people.
A lot of people just can't afford to get out.
They can't get out.
Yeah.
See, no wonder they film Lord of the Rings here, because like, it's like those actors, the only way that they could afford to come to New Zealand is to work as actors, to like make the money to leave the country.
Yeah. And they were all super glad to get out.
You would be. I mean, this morning, like a cup of tea... Like, I mean, you ordered it for me and went and paid for it at the little vendor.
Yeah.
It was like $50.
I was furious too. You didn't see it, but I gave that guy hell for. I said, where do you get, this guy here's losing money hand over fist. Where do you get off charging $50? I don't know what to do.
Well, he had a strange way of showing it, because he seemed to be having a good laugh, a good long, deep laugh.
Oh, look, once we move past that, he's actually, he's quite a funny guy, and he's a good friend of mine. So, We did have a pretty good chuckle.
Yeah.
He was just telling me about a party he went to on the weekend, which I didn't go to because I was picking you up from the airport. So
yeah, that's good of you.
It was quite nice of him to tell me, so it felt like I was at the party as well.
Well, you both seem to enjoy the story.
Yeah, it was a good story.
What was it about?
Oh, look, just this he's got this party trick he's been working on.
Right.
And he sort of finally unleashed it, and it just sounded like it went great. And he was the toast of the town, really.
Wow.
It was a real shame I had to miss it. It was a once-off party trick, so I was pretty gutted.
But yeah, I'm sorry that I'm
totally worth it to get you from the airport, man. I'm having a great time hosting you. And also, I'd like for all of our regular listeners to note, Carlo's found the toilet. No worries.
That's right, guys. For those who've been worried about it, I have found it. Frank and I have made amends to some degree.
It's good that you think that.
Well, I didn't know what the traditions were, but I had seen a lot of people enjoying tins of sauce everywhere, like everybody got their rip and dips. So I brought him a whole mess of rip and dips, bought 9 rip and dips. And actually, it surprised me, because I bought 9 tins of rip and dip, and that was only 18 New Zealand dollars. And I said to the lady, I was like, this is cheaper. I said, this is cheaper than the cutlery tax. And she seemed to find that very funny. Very quick to laugh people here.
We just got a great... It's in our constitution. We've got a great sense of humour.
I just brought him all that sauce, and I left that...
He... Well, yeah, I was...
For him there.
He is... he's got a... it's not a common phobia, and I probably should have told you this before you put it all in there, because Frank's going to come home any second now. He's got a huge fear of tomatoes. It's more common than you'd think, but
I've not heard that.
He cannot even be in the same room as a tomato.
Should I give him... Does that mean I have to give him the traditional scare fee, $300?
No, I would recommend getting the sauce out of there because he's quite a volatile personality. I've been finding out a lot about him. He's just moved in recently. But when he gets upset, you do not want to be in his immediate vicinity. So I would...
Well, that gives me something to do for the afternoon is extract that tomato sauce from Frank's room. And I'm... Thanks for letting me know.
Oh, look, it's no worries, man. I can give you a hand if you like.
Well, that'd be great. Actually, no. I can do it by myself.
Okay. Well, you should probably get on top of that because he's going to freak out.
Well, thanks, Guy. And thanks for everybody coming along on this journey. I'm hesitantly excited to see what day 3 brings.
Who knows? Only time will tell.
Quando ritorni mi sembra inverno, il sole è basso, il mio sguardo perso.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you're thirsty for another, why not try The Male Gaze?
It's The Male Gaze!
I love that. There's a famous drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race, Alaska.
I love Alaska. Love
her, and she always says, "I love your pussy," and I just think that's a great way to greet someone.
Yeah.
Or say goodbye to them. Oh. Bye, Mum. Love your pussy. It made me.
Did you? Please never say that to your mum.
They're both male.